This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We're in Exodus chapter 34, and we're going to study one verse today, one verse only, because in many ways, I think God is focusing on this as far as our church is concerned, and He's focused on this as far as my Bible study in the morning, the Bible study that we do each and every morning. I think it's important focus as far as how we do life with God and how we do really life with each other, because our relationships with other people are given to us as a reflection or as a picture of our relationship with God. The primary relationships of life all have some aspect to them that is the same with God. God is our Heavenly Father. In many ways, Scripture teaches about God having qualities that a mother has toward us. Oftentimes, Jesus is described as our brother, and He is, even though He is our Lord, He's our brother. And obviously, you have the beautiful picture of Christ being the bridegroom and us being the bride, which is a picture of the marital relationship between us and God. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is obviously, that's a sibling relationship that Jesus mirrors. And that sibling relationship is a picture of our relationship with Christ as far as He being our brother. He also calls Himself our friend. And Jesus said, I call you friend now because a servant doesn't know his master's business, but you know my business, and so I call you friend. And so if you think about it, those relationships, parent-child relationships, sibling relationships, friendships that are close personal friendships, all those relationships are the relationships that make life go. They're the relationships that make life powerful. And they're the relationships when they're lost, either through death or through some kind of terrible fight or things like that. They're the relationships that are mourned the greatest, and they feel like death to the people who lose those relationships, because they are so important to the fundamental core of who we are as human beings and who we are as people. And relationships are of great importance. And how we relate to God is an obvious thing. So when a bridegroom comes and asks a bride to marry him, what does he do? He gets on his knee and he asks for that relationship, but he gives her a ring. And even though the ring may not be super expensive by worldly standards, usually that ring is very costly to that young man who is asking for his bride's hand in marriage. In relation to what he has, it is usually of great significance. In fact, sometimes it's more than half, if even all that he has, so that he can give her the very best. And that is a beautiful picture of that relationship. And when you go to exchange gifts at Christmas with your family, you want to usually give them the best. I always think about our relationships, and even though we have limited income, we want to find those gifts that are meaningful for the people that we're giving them to. And even though they may not be financially of great significance, they usually are very important. And the people who are the most important in your life, oftentimes those are the gifts you focus on the most, because, well, relationships matter. And gift giving, as my youngest daughter would say, is a talent. It's a skill. And giving a gift that's meaningful, important, is important. And so when we go to God, when we deal with God and our relationship with Him and how we relate to Him, our money and how we give to God matters. Now, That being said, I preached a sermon on that. And if you're listening to this over time, it would be on the Lake Community Church's Facebook page. It's Lake Community Church in Dayville, Alabama. It was preached on July 16th, 2023. It's a New Testament understanding of the Old Testament idea that is taught in Malachi about giving God your best, not robbing God of the opportunity to be Lord of your finances. And that is an important idea that we talked about that Sunday morning. It's an important idea in my life. It has been a source of great blessing in my life for me to be able to experience giving God the first fruits of my life as a pastor and as just one of his children, and experiencing what happens when you do that and the promises that are found in Malachi being fulfilled in my life. And I wanted to have that opportunity to teach the church. And so we went through Malachi, and we've gotten that opportunity to learn that as well as many other things. And Malachi talks a lot about first fruits. It talks about bringing God the very, very first and the very, very best. And when we bring God the first and the best, what we're saying is you're Lord of this area of our life. Whenever we give God control over something in our lives, meaning we give him such that if he doesn't work in that area of our life, then it's going to be ruined because we've handed that over to him. When we do that, we allow him to take on his rightful role as Lord of our lives. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that is from out of our heart, we confess his lordship over something and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, which means we have faith in his resurrection power. If we do that, the Bible says we shall be saved. And that word for salvation is the word sozo, which is the process of sanctification that God brings about in our lives. So that salvation or sanctification process that God works in our lives from the time we are born again to the time we are glorified before him, that process of sanctification is a long-term process. And it's a process in which we give him lordship over more and more of our lives. And you go, I thought we were supposed to make him Lord totally at the start. We are, as well as I do. We do that, and we want him to be Lord, but we don't let him be Lord. We try to control our own lives over and over again. And that's a truth that God understands it. He knows that's the way it's going to be. And he wants to teach us in different areas of our lives how to make him Lord of our lives. And over time, this area is a very important area because your finances really are very personal to you, because that's how you live. That's how you eat. That's how you take care of your family. And so money is very important to people. It can be very personal to them. And when we allow God to be Lord of our lives and take control of those things, then he is a God who does very good for his children. But you have to let him be Lord of those things. In every area of your life, when you let God be Lord, he saves that area of your life. He refines it. He makes it the way it should be. He makes it good. He makes it pleasing. But he does change it, because obviously you're not going to do the job that God does in the areas of your life that you need to do, that you need to work on. And so as we study this, we get to verse 26, and it says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God." And what he says here is you've got, in order for God to be Lord, he's got to be Lord at the start. I think that's fairly obvious. If I'm going to be an attorney in a case, I want to be the attorney at the very start. Why? Because the end begins at the beginning. And so many times in life, we don't understand that. That's what they taught us in law school. Every case will end like it begins. And I was taught that by two professors in my law school, and I've come to find out that's not just a legal principle, that's a spiritual principle. How we begin things is going to govern everything that happens after that in that certain area of our life. And so if I'm going to have a new beginning with God in a certain area of my life, I've got to make him Lord of that area. I've got to place him in the proper position in my heart and my mind so that he's in control. And when he's in control of that area of my life, when he's walking in that area of my life hand in hand with me, then he gets to dictate not only what happens, but he gets to dictate the outcome. And he's definitely the one I want dictating the outcome. Oftentimes people say, I don't know, what if these people get
Does God get the chance to decide who receives his word and who hears his voice? And that doesn't seem fair. And I always answer, do you really want anybody to have that decision-making process other than him? If you said to me, do you want your children to get a chance to choose God, or do you want God to choose your children? I want God to choose my children. I don't want them to choose. I raise them. I know their problems. Do you want God to be the one in charge of the outcome of your job, or do you want you to be in charge of the outcome of your job? I want me to be in charge of it, you would think in your heart. But the truth is, no, you don't. No, you don't. You want God to be in charge of it. He knows everything. You don't know hardly anything. You just have your senses about things. You don't know what's coming down the road. You don't know how things are going to work itself out. And that truth is definitely, for sure, true in our financial lives. If you're going to be financially secure, the best place to be financially secure is in the center of God's will. That's the best place for financial security. Now you say, Paul said, I've learned to be content in plenty, and I've learned to be content in want. That's right. God does get to decide the seasons of our lives. But notice, he was content. He understood God was in control, and this is a time of less, but there'll be times of more, and God's going to bless me and give me and sustain me, and I don't have to worry about what's going to happen down the road because he's Lord of my finances. And the only way for that to happen is for him to begin to be Lord of your finances. You say, I've been in charge for a long time and it ain't going well. I like what you're talking about, preacher. Let's talk about this. But the problem is, I started out wrong. No, remember, each day is new for God. Each morning is a newness for him. He does not consider your failures of your past indicative or necessary for your future. He has his grace that can be added to any situation and make it a new day for you. His mercies are new every morning. And so you can make God the Lord of any area of your life today. You can do, there's in no area of your life that God can't become Lord of today. And so if that's something else in your life that I'm talking about finances, but you're talking about something else in your life today, you need to understand that God can be Lord of any area of your life with his mercies being new every morning, any day, any time, anywhere. God can start out and be in control. He can be. And so you ought to see it that way. You ought to, in your heart and your mind, you ought to consider it that way. And so God can be Lord of your finances right now. He can take control of your finances today. And then there's this idiom that's used here, this phrase that really we don't know, we don't have any sources from ancient Hebrew that explains this idiom, and we call it idiom because it's a phrase, and it seems like one of those phrases that we use that really don't mean what they used to mean. They have a whole new meaning for us today, and he says, you shall not boil a goat in its mother's milk. Now, that is offering a goat sacrifice. They think that might be have something to do with a type of sacrifice that was going on in the peoples around them. And that sacrifice would have been done boiling it in its mother's milk, which means you offer the new sacrifice, but you don't boil it in new milk. You boil it in old milk. And if you read this whole idea of first fruits offering that's found in Exodus and Deuteronomy, when God instructs it, you realize that God is telling them, don't give me last year's grain at the bottom of the barrel, and you keep this year's grain. Give me the first fruits from the field. And they oftentimes did that. They would just give God last year's grain offering, the grain that was left over from last year at the very bottom of the barrel, and then they would keep the new grain, expecting that God would use the grain here from last year, and then we'll have the new grain to last us all year long. And God's saying, no, I want to be first. If you're going to let me be in charge of how far the grain carries in your life, how far each dollar moves forward for you, how far each ounce of silver that you have, every silver coin that you have in your life, if you want me to be in charge of it, you got to give me the first. You got to let me be in charge of the first of it. And that's why oftentimes people give their tithe or their offering on Sunday mornings, and each one of those words have different meanings. We don't live by the law. I don't teach a percentage, because God may want more than the percentage I teach you from you. There may be more that he requires of you than he requires of others, because he's blessing you so much, and he has to have that number so that you will make him Lord of that area of your life. And so we don't get into legalism. What we get into is you letting the Holy Spirit lead you into an understanding of what is first fruits for you. And that Holy Spirit, who tells us and teaches us and guides us in all things, he will guide you into understanding what is important for you to give to God. And when you do that at its fullness, God is Lord of everything. And I want you to see your life that way. If I give God the first of everything in my life, if I give him the first that comes with every aspect of my life, I have placed him in the primary, most important position. I've placed him in the position that matters the very most. And when I place him in that position, when I write him the first check, when I give him the first aspect of any part of my life, he is Lord of that. And when he's Lord of that, I am secure. Because when God is Lord, his promises are all yes and amen. They are true to me. And I would say to you today, let God be God of your life. Let him be first in your life. And he promises, if he will, and you'll believe that he has the power to raise the dead, meaning take what you think is dead and gone and make it alive. If you will believe on God and give him the first of every aspect of your life, including your finances, he will give you abundantly more than you ever imagined. And he'll keep the things that are plaguing you away. And that's the promise of Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 13 also. And so I pray that he'll keep the robbers away. He'll keep the pestilence out. He'll keep the enemy at the gates, and you will have his very best because you've made him Lord, because he truly is Lord of all.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.